Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss.
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So we got so much to get to. Hoodie, good morning. I hope you enjoyed yesterday. Got a chance to sleep a little bit. It was Dr. King's birthday. It was a holiday. So I hope you had a good three-day weekend, everybody, and that's good to be back in here. But we got a lot to get to. Bears. Football playoffs. John Lester, our executive producer, oversleeping, and Jared Porter has just been fired. And the story broke last night at like 9 o'clock that the GM of the Mets had been sexually harassing a reporter, I believe a Japanese reporter, while he was working for the Cubs front office in 2016.
That's correct.
He gets his dream job, trades for Lindor. It breaks at 9 o'clock last night. And this morning, Stephen Cohen, the owner of the Mets. We have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. So we got a lot of baseball to get to.
Yeah, that's not the same old Mets, by the way. That was swift. Right before we came on the air, that story broke. So good for the Mets. But what about your Cubs, though? Because what happened with John Lester is right along the lines of what we talked about here as far as a transition with this Cubs team. Yes, a Cubs team that still could win the division, but now when you start seeing these moves over the last few days, it seems like the Cubs are trying to dismantle piece by piece.
John Lester is arguably the best free agent signing in Chicago sports history. I would put Marian Hossa right there with him. He won three Cups. So I'd probably go Hossa 1, Lester 2. Andre Dawson was a great signing. But you start trying to compile a list of the best free agent signings, and you know there haven't been a ton of them. John Lester made it clear. This is a fact. This isn't me wildly speculating. This is a researched fact. He made it clear to the Chicago Cubs, I've won three rings. I want to retire as a Cub. One more year, I want to win seven games at least, and you use me in any role you want. I want to get to 200 career wins. I want to do that in a Cubs uniform and then ride off into the sunset after next season. And by all accounts, it looked like a fait accompli. It's going to happen. Just let us get some of our business done, and then we'll get back to you. And then teams started calling and going, hold on a second. The pandemic was not conducive to anybody. You are a warrior. You're a leader. Your work ethic, your leadership in the room, we value you. And so he starts getting calls from the best of the best that feel they can win this year. Hey, John, you want to come pitch here? They're not expecting him to be John Lester, the top of the rotation anymore. He said, play me however you want. I want to have a chance to win if I'm leaving Chicago. Calls the Cubs and said, hey, let's just get this done. He called Tom Ricketts himself. And Tom said, love to have you back. That's not my call. Talk to Jed. It's Jed's call. He's the guy making the decisions. Fine. I like owners that do your job. And he was told by the Cubs, yeah, we can't make any offers right now until we move more money. Well, all of a sudden, the Washington Nationals, because he wanted to stay east because his family lives in Atlanta. So the Braves were off the table. They've already got all their pitching. They had already made another signing. They got Charlie Morton, I think. Washington, that's a puddle jumper flight away. Spring training's in Florida. So they play three different series in Atlanta. He's got plenty of, you know, reasons to go there. And all of a sudden, the Cubs go, oh, You got an offer from Washington? All right, we'll make an offer. Well, hold on a second. I thought you couldn't make any offers. What is it here? He got, with his easily attainable incentives and signing and all that, it's going to be close to $5 million. You're telling me that a guy who changed your culture, who made you tens of millions of dollars, and that may be wildly underestimating it, by helping you win a World Series, you couldn't find loose change, and he would have taken a little less and said, here's $4 million. We want you to retire a Cub. Have all the fanfare, big press conference. You couldn't get that done. That is beyond pathetic.
Well, I will tell you that is clearly a difference between Jed at the top of the heap and Theo being there. If Theo's in place, do you think that happens? I'm thinking not. Because here's the one thing that you know about Theo Epstein, right? Theo Epstein wants to win, and he wants to be able to lead this team to be a perennial winner. And he did that, right? He did that with the Red Sox. He did that with the Cubs. I just kind of think that at this point in time, you can't be surprised at that move, Cap. I saw your recap, and I heard what you said, but you can't be surprised at it because I think we both know that this Cubs team is in a transition. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a separation of being in transition and treating players right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not going anywhere this year in 2021. You're not going anywhere. But if John Lester wants to be a Cub, allow him to be a Cub.
Exactly.
If he wants to be, because of all people, that guy who didn't have to come here to start with says, yeah, I just want to finish out here. Yeah, I'm not breaking a bank by just staying in a Cub for at least one more year. The Cub said, no, we're going to turn the page, and now it's time for Albert Alzolay and Alec Mills.
Correct. But this is not like Albert Almora said, yeah, I want to retire a Cub, so sign me to a deal.
Right.
No. This is John Lester. He's not asking, he didn't ask you for $30 million where you go, we just don't have it. He asked you for less than $5 million. Hey, come here, take a chance on us. We're 73-89. And help lead us to a World Series. He pitched, other than Game 7, the biggest game I ever witnessed was Game 5, down 3-1 at Wrigley. And that guy put his plums on the table and pitched you back to Cleveland. And then 3 days later, he's there pitching huge innings in Game 7.
Now, when you'd make a move like that, you know what that says? Says, we don't think that much about John Lester anymore, but someone else covets him. Oh, no, we do have the money. Well, it's too late.
Correct.
So clearly you don't covet the guy that did not have to come here to have some of the biggest moments in Cubs history, and you just let him just slip through the cracks. Again, those things don't happen under Theo. Either, to me, it's just like Theo making the statement, hey, you know, we're going to turn the page, we're going to go in a different direction, instead of just letting John Lester walk. See, they can't. There's no reason for that outside of just saying, we don't value the asset anymore. Let him go. We're turning the page in all of this.
When you ask someone to help build a culture, and he does just that, he helps you build a culture of accountability. He was not the guy that was going to be running to the media or rah-rah ripping guys in public. That's not who John is. John leads through work ethic, example, and then taking the young pitchers under his wing, here's how you handle particular situations. He loved being a Cub.
Yep.
Wanted to retire a Cub. It wasn't about chasing another ring. You cannot preach culture, 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 and then the guy who is most responsible on that team for developing said culture says, give me 1 year. Just be fair. That's what he told them. Be fair. You don't have to match Washington. He wouldn't even have talked to Washington. Like, why in October did you not just say, folks, going to be a little bit of a transition here. I think everyone realizes that we're going to have to start to retool. We only got these guys for one more year. But one thing that we will not allow to happen is John Lester to retire in another uniform.
No.
Period.
Yeah, you couldn't have that. You couldn't have that because, Cap, all of the conversations we keep hearing about is the money, the lack of money there, how we're hemorrhaging money. There's nobody in the ballpark, so don't look for us to be able to spend a whole bunch of money. That's all we hear. The first thing we hear about Cubs baseball is their salaries. As Jeff Passan told us last week, you know, he doesn't have any you know, have any empathy for these owners that are millionaires and billionaires. These guys could spend money, but they'd rather not do that. They'd rather not pay through the nose, except for the Padres and the White Sox. They see the future.
They do.
And the Cubs don't. The Cubs see the future as far as, hey, we're going to turn the page and our future is going to be Tyson Miller and Jason Adam and Albert Alzale and Alec Mills. That's what they see.
Yep.
But, I mean, you know, you mentioned culture, right? The culture left. You know where the Cubs culture is? It's in the front office now of Major League Baseball. That's where that culture went.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen under Theo Epstein. I'm just telling you right now. And if it did, there'd be an explanation. There's no explanation. Where is it?
Yeah, I don't think this falls at the feet of Jed Hoyer. I don't. I think it falls at the feet of the collective, Tom and Jed and however else you want to dole out responsibility. All I know is...
all-encompassing.
Don't tell me how important I am to your culture to help you build something, and then I say, he didn't ask for 5 years at $150 million. He asked for one stinking season.
Yep.
1 year. And guess what? What a better role... Name me a better role model than having John Lester mentoring Albert Alzolay, Shelby Miller, Tyson Miller, all these other guys coming, Braylon Marquez... You think you'd like to have a 21-year-old lefty who throws 100 miles an hour and has no idea yet how to be a big leaguer? Learn from that guy. Nope. Can't get it done. It is beyond pathetic.
Well, this is. I think this is the beginning of it. I think it's the beginning of it. We talk about Cubs culture. Hey, where is the Cubs culture post-Theo? We talk about this with the Bears all the time, right? We try to figure out, well, who are you? What's your culture? This will tell a great story. It's already telling a great story of who the Cubs are going to be to allow that guy to walk. Now, again, I want to make sure it's very clear because people will mishear this, right? We're not saying that John Lester's a frontline guy ahead of Hendricks in the starting rotation. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that here's a guy here that wants to be a Cub, that wants to finish out his career with the Chicago Cubs. The Schwarber thing, that's business. Like, if you didn't feel like Schwarber can help you, you want to kind of change the lineup and you want to get... change your fortunes offensively. I got no problem with that. That's just business. But here's a guy here that says, I don't want to leave. My family's here. I'd rather just be right here for one more year, finishing it out and more than likely retire. They don't even allow them to do that. That slipped through the cracks. Wait, you got an offer from someone else? Well, now we found the money. Well, now it's too late.
Correct.
You didn't have to deal with that under Theo very much, did you?
No.
Okay, so now it's happening. That's the difference. This is who we are now. Now we're going back to the Wrigley Company. All right. Now we're going back to the Wrigley way of doing Cubs baseball. That's nonsense. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to 1982 and treat players like that. Don't do that. Don't be the big owner at the top of the mountain and just saying, that's all right. We'll get our money back. The players don't matter. Culture matters. Culture matters. Theo was able to bring that. And now it's on Jed. I know that Jed is like the guy that Theo likes so much, and it's going to be Jed. It's going to be a real interesting way to look at Cubs baseball here for the future to see if Jed can be able to maintain or increase the culture that Theo left behind.
312-332-3776. The Final Four in the National Football League are left. We go through the weekend's games. We look ahead to championship weekend. Albert Breer joins us at 8. Jesse Rogers on this John Lester story at 9. We're going to play You Make the Call today on our executive producer is not here.
You make the call.
Damn it, Harry.
I mean, Meller, how do we handle this? First of all, just to be honest, I walked in here. I see Hoodie as I'm pulling in the garage. He's got his coffee. We're ready to go. We're excited to be back. I come up here and they're like, Meller goes, Danny's phone is off. He's not answering. He's not here. And Danny's always the first guy here. He's here.
Oh, well, JR's here.
But JR's
here. A little credit there, Cap.
Well,
I'm
no,
always
but you're
the first
working overnight. So JR comes in for a different shift first, then goes to the show.
Not really, but...
Don't you come in earlier?
Anyway, Cap.
Anyway.
Him and Les.
So yes. Usually, all I know is I'm not here with JR.
Usually
here.
I see Danny by about 5:15. I sent him the first text at about 5:40 this morning.
You okay?
Everything good? I usually see you by now.
Phone goes right green because he's on an iPhone. If it's off, it goes to green. The iMessage only works if the phone's on. And now we're like, we've been trying him. I have Diana's number. his wife. Because when we started working together, I'm like, dude, you turn your phone off way too much for me. Can I have your wife's number just to, for emergencies? I think this was the second time in 5 years I've ever called it. And the other was to check one of their kids that had surgery. That was the only other time. And that goes right to voicemail. I'm like, oh, God. And we're starting to think like the worst of the worst. Like, what is going on here? Like, was there a CO2 leak in the house? Do we have to go break out, have Merkin break the windows out? I'm thinking, hey, should I send my wife over there? We only live 10 minutes away. Kick the door in, make sure everyone's alive. And
I've got my pad here, you know, with bullet point things to talk about Danny in the past.
Right.
Danny was great for us.
He was a wonderful guy.
He's
a great father.
I kept looking at the door of our meeting and wondering when he was going to turn the corner. I just looked for that little gray hat to come across, come around the corner.
Right.
I'm just waiting for him to say, good morning, I'm just ribbing you. I was higher all the time. I was waiting for that cat, but it never happened.
Never happened.
I just want my Danny back. I
thought he was gone.
I was hoping that he would just come through the door with his white peaches for me. Just like he once did. I was waiting for him to yell at me to be able to do the reads. And now we won't have that anymore.
Correct. No one to pick on me anymore.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. And all of a sudden, my phone rings. It's Diana. Cap? Yes. Everything okay? I went in. I got up. I found Danny fast asleep.
Son of a bitch!
That no good SOB! What?
Turnips! Apples! Grapes! Broccoli's good for you! Smoothie shakes!
Bananas are the candy bar of the fruit aisle.
Healthy tea! Take that.
So Danny is alive. We have confirmed.
Now we're going to crush him the rest of the show.
No question. No question. But he is allegedly on the highway. So if you see a license plate, Zed, whatever it is, get out of his way. So he will be here in a little while. But that's why Danny is not here yet.
All right. Let's talk. We got the Final Four. We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs right around the corner.
All right. We'll get to that. We got to talk about Jared Porter. Why do guys think it's like a cool thing to send a picture of your junk?
I'll tell you why.
It's like so unattractive.
I'll tell you why next.
We'll be right back.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap Jay Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Phone lines hopping 312-332-3776. He is Jonathan Hood with Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, Dan Fetterman. I'm David Kaplan.
Green tea. It's good for you. Good for you. Take that.
Wow. I'm David Kaplan. Anyway.
You were saying about the NFL playoffs.
Yes. We'll get to Jared Porter in a little bit.
Nope.
The final four in the NFL are left. You probably have, I don't know, Meller, top four in MVP? Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, Brady, is that how the voting will go? Probably. Probably.
Yeah, sure.
Or very close.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got four great quarterbacks. You got four outstanding teams, obviously, to be at this level. And unfortunately for the Chiefs, they don't know if they're going to have Patrick Mahomes. We saw Buster Skrine get a concussion. He never came back.
Right.
He missed like the last three or four or five games.
I've enjoyed, of course, I always enjoyed the NFL playoffs. It's always fun to watch,
always.
Right? Because it's just a different level. It's a different energy when you get out there.
Awesome.
The thing is this is the reason why, like, I'm a college football fan, but I respect the National Football League. My college, all the time I have invested watching on Saturdays, I watch my guys on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting to watch. But, Cap, let me tell you something about this National Football League, man. It's just too inconsistent for me. When I'm watching college football, I know what a call is. And you know what I'm talking about, this hypocrisy in the Kansas City-Cleveland game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a guy on that one play. There, it was called a fumble, a touchback.
Mm-hmm.
You remember watching that part of that touchback,
Rashard,
right?
Higgins,
right? But that's a helmet-to-helmet hit,
clearly.
But not on that play though. Anywhere else on the field, especially with a quarterback involved, if it's helmet-to-helmet, that is a penalty.
Yep.
But not in that situation, and not in the National Football League. An opportunity for Cleveland to score right there. That was a helmet-to-helmet hit, but it's a touchback. That's the inconsistency of the National Football League.
It's the stupidest rule.
And then the idea also that, they replay everything else. You can go back and take a look at a replay, but you can't replay that, though.
Right.
Why?
Horrible.
If it's about player safety and you're not sure if that was helmet to helmet, don't you want to take a look at that?
Exactly.
The inconsistency of the National Football League bothers me in that regard, Jeff.
Well, it's stunning because think about it. The Browns lose that game by 5 points. Mm-hmm. That was the decisive moment in the football game.
Yep.
Sorensen has an illegal hit, a clearly illegal hit. And you mentioned, Hoodie, the craziest thing is they don't even have to go back and look at that to replay it. They're in the process of replaying it because he fumbled out of bounds.
Correct.
The referee is staring at the replay, making the correct call that he fumbles out of the end zone, but in the process sees that Sorensen is delivering a helmet-to-helmet targeting hit. And it's absurd that that's a rule, that you preach player safety as a league, and then when you can see it clear as day on a penalty that or on a replay that you're not even going out of your way to watch, you're in the process of watching a replay, and the ref can't make that call.
Yeah, you can see all of it, and when you're just so ridiculous. Now, this is my issue with the NFL. You have to be able to be consistent with this. I'm concerned about player safety, but not in that spot.
Correct. But it's also a stupid rule.
Maybe the Browns win that game because of that. Like Jeff said, maybe they win. Maybe not.
I think that rule should be the ball goes back to the Browns at the 20-yard line. That's the penalty for fumbling it through the end zone. But it was funny. It was the McCourty brothers, Jason and Devin McCourty. Within seconds, they both tweeted that wouldn't happen in New England because Belichick is a fanatic. We don't ever reach the ball for the goal line, mm-hmm. ever. Because if we fumble, either they're recovering in the end zone or gets knocked out and we lose possession. That is what we don't do. And Kevin Stefanski was asked about it, the coach of the Browns, and came out and said, we coach the same exact thing. Other teams don't. They trust the guy.
You're right. I think it is an exception that most teams do not coach that per se. I know Mike Vrabel has taken it from New England, and uh-huh. he teaches the same thing and was actually upset earlier in the year when Ryan Tannehill scored a touchdown by reaching out for the goal line because, hey, it's a teaching moment. We don't do that here because, especially in the early downs, it might be different on fourth down.
Right.
But first, second, third down, don't reach for the goal line because if you fumble and it goes out of bounds, you lose the ball. Yeah, but I'm with you. That I don't like that rule at all. I mean,
stupid.
Most people, I think, on Twitter over the weekend were outraged that whenever it happens, people are always upset. It seems like a bad rule. It's very punitive when you have the ball at the goal line that if the defense doesn't recover it, they get the ball. You know, that's why I'm with you, Cap. Put it at the 20, give it back to the offense, and whatever down it is, fine. You don't get a fresh set of downs.
Correct.
But you should still retain the ball.
Agreed.
You could teach that by saying, hey, don't you trust our quarterback to get in the end zone? I would trust the Browns to get it in there. Even though there was some struggles there, I just didn't like that play. And by the way, out of all these NFL plays, I mean, is Rodgers locked in or what? Locked in.
Locked in.
I mean,
locked in.
I know that some Bears fans don't want to give Green Bay credit, but there's a reason why that they're the class of this division that we're in every single year, right? I mean, it would look like just any regular season game in November for him. It didn't seem like he had any pressure on him to feel like, oh, man, it's the playoffs. It's no sweat for him.
They lost their starting left tackle who might be he's the highest paid, and he might be the best left tackle in the National Football League. He's certainly top three, and all of a sudden, they lose him. Done. Yeah. ACL, see you later, the week of the Bear game, not a problem. We're good. And that guy, Rodgers, I was listening, coming back from doing, I had Indiana State at Illinois State. Mm-hmm. I'm driving back up I-55, I'm listening, and I think Wayne Larrivee is
phenomenal.
Sure.
Like, my two favorite football announcers in the NFL radio calls are Wayne Larrivee and Mitch Holthus, the voice of Touchdown Kansas City. I think they're amazingly good. And I'm listening, and I hear Wayne Rogers look, and all of a sudden, he lets the ball go, and you know, so, by Wayne's inflection, uh-oh, somebody's open down the field. Gone. Touchdown. Oh, yeah. He game just, over, Alan Lazard.
Just like that.
That was it.
Wait, it's easy for him now. There is, as I mentioned last week, there is no 49ers or some really strong team in the NFC that the Packers should be wary of. Because they just seem at ease offensively. And your team's still alive, too, my friend, in Orchard Park, New York.
That's it.
Bills still alive with that heartbeat. So let's see, we can cross off Huntley as a potential Bears quarterback, Tyler Huntley. We found like
he's seen enough already.
Can't play either.
You've seen enough already.
No, we're going to give Chad Henne a multi-year deal. He's only in year 12 in his career, but he made a hell of a play. You could see where Matt Nagy gets the be aggressive. Andy Reid go because Tony Romo is like they're not going to snap the ball. No chance. This is just a hard count to try and get him to jump. And you hear Jim Nance, they just did, and oh boom, God. Gets the first down, game over. Well, there's a difference when you are the Chiefs and you're throwing it to Tyreek Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're the Bears.
Yeah.
Period.
So, your team's still alive, your Bills team's still
Let's
alive
Let's go,
there.
Buffalo!
Yeah, still alive with Allen. Tell you what, pretty good.
Pretty good.
They didn't run the ball well, but the point is, and by the way, the first couple of, the first half, 3-3, yeah, a little bit of a throwback.
Yeah.
It was snooze fest early.
Snooze fest.
But the Bills were able to overcome. It's a great story.
Great story. Really, so we'll see. Can they go into Kansas City and win? Yes, they can. But we'll find out. Is Mahomes going to play? It's not that easy. I was listening to, they had a doctor on with Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. And he said, it's easy to go, yeah, he's going to play. And Key made a great point. He said, no doctor, because they're independent, is going to put his medical license on the line to go, you got to clear him. If
right.
he doesn't think he should be cleared, he's not working for the league. He doesn't work for the team. He's an independent voice. And he said, absolutely. If they don't think he's ready to go, he will not play. That said, I still think he's going to be out there.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all breaks down. So you got Buffalo at Kansas City, and then you got Bruce Arians saying, yeah, I allowed Tom to coach the team. They won't let him do that in, or wouldn't let him do that in New England. So we'll see where it all goes. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. All right, 312-332-3776. You make the call. Danny overslept. He's not here yet. Thank God he's okay. He's on his way. We got to get into some of this Jared Porter stuff. Holy smokes. Be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Okay, so 11 o'clock last night, Eastern, 10 o'clock Chicago time. I'm doing an emergency podcast and a recap on John Lester leaving the Cubs when he didn't want to leave. And I'm looking at my timeline just for John Lester stuff. Like, wait a minute. What does that say? Oh, wait, look who walked in. Danny Zetterman. Hi, Danny. How are you, buddy?
Green tea.
The banana is the candy bar at the fruit aisle.
You were saying.
Anyway, I'm looking on my timeline on Twitter, and I'm like, Wait. That doesn't have anything to do with John Lester. What does that say? And the story is being reported by Jeff Passan, great friend of our show and sure. of our station, and Mina Kimes. And they're both from ESPN, and it says that Mets GM Jared Porter had been sending harassing texts to a female media member while working for the Chicago Cubs in 2016. Hundreds of messages, and she was from a foreign country, didn't know protocol, so to speak, here, had been leery of moving here to cover baseball, and okay, when she does not answer a bunch of your texts, how much more do you keep sending, come on, fly out and meet me, come on this, come on that? And then he sends her a picture of a male appendage. Of his, of not his junk, it was a stock photo. Like, I don't know if he keeps them in his phone, if he goes on some site, if he gets a screen, or whatever. Hey, interested? Okay, first of all, it's not really attractive. Like what is going through his mind?
Okay, not from your standpoint. No, of course it doesn't look attractive. Of course it doesn't.
But like if you send 150 text messages to someone, they don't respond, and that's your go-to move, he deserves to be fired. And this morning, he woke up to this. 11:04 p.m. Eastern, ESPN publishes story revealing Jared Porter's harassment of a female media member, complete with text-by-text creepiness. She saved them all. She went to a player in Major League Baseball who is from the same country she is.
Sure.
Believed to be Japan. And said, how do I handle this? He crafts a text back to Jared Porter. This is unprofessional. Leave me alone. Blah, blah, blah. And he responds, I apologize. I'll leave you alone. He texts her again another time, and that's it. Right. Has never texted her since. 7:55 a.m. Eastern. On Twitter, Mets owner Steve Cohen tweets that we have terminated Jared Porter this morning. In my initial press conference, I spoke about the importance of integrity, and I meant it. There should be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. He didn't say we're going to have an investigation, and he's going to go for rehab. Nope. Gone.
Right.
I like that, Steve Cohen.
Well, how about this? So I saw the video, the piece that was on SportsCenter. It also was on ESPN.com of the ebb and flow of this relationship that this guy wanted to have.
Right.
And so he says, you know, I think I saw you. Do you want to see more pictures of me? They're exchanging selfies, right? Mm-hmm. And all her response usually is yes. And, of course, she's from a different country, so she doesn't understand the language very well.
Right.
But she does know, like, hey, do you want to want a selfie of me? And she's like, yeah. And then she sends one. She knows that much, at least.
But right? Hers is appropriate.
Right. No, right. But there was also selfies that he sent that were appropriate, too. Just his face.
Yeah.
I saw the whole piece, so it became really tawdry and uncomfortable moving forward because now he's sending a male appendage piece. It's him laying in a bed, all that stuff. So after 60 text messages, he probably should get it.
Yeah.
That he's not interested, right? How many text messages do you have to send to someone before you realize that they don't want to talk to you? Maybe three?
Right. If you keep texting day after day, and the time that he was texting her, 2:45 a.m. He's obviously in a hotel. The one picture that he sent where he's somewhat aroused.
Yes.
I mean, like,
it's an erect picture.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, dude, like, how dumb do you have to be? And so December 13, they announce him as the new GM of the Mets. Nobody knows about what had happened in 2016 when he worked for the Cubs.
Right.
He gets the deal done for Francisco Lindor. He's working for an owner who has said, I wasn't part of the pandemic last year as an owner. I didn't have any biblical losses. I'm spending.
Sure.
Let's go. And he feels like, oh, man, I'm on top of the world. Making a few million dollars a year. His dream job has arrived. And then last night, this blockbuster drops on ESPN, and bam, he's out. 6:04 this morning, Central. Get the H out, and he'll never get a gig again.
Well, after a few text messages, if she's not responding to you, you probably should just leave it alone. Now it becomes excessive. Now you're stalking her.
Correct.
Because of how he probably felt that she had the door ajar just a little bit because they were exchanging selfies. Like, oh, maybe she's interested. And of course, if she doesn't respond, clearly she's not interested. Mm-hmm. Move on. But Jared Porter didn't think that. He thought he still had a chance. After 60 text messages, he still thought he had a chance.
And then he just keeps inundating her with him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
stalker-like behavior there.
Like, if she doesn't respond after 60.
Yeah.
And now you send another however many hundreds. come meet me here. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's do. And she doesn't respond to you. Your go-to move is to go get a stock photo of
an erect, that, an erect penis.
An erect penis, yeah. And send that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm in. Sorry I didn't respond for, you know, 190,000 text messages later. But that picture, I'm in. Okay.
It's kind of odd also to be able to send photographs of the hotel amenities.
Right.
I thought that was also very strange. You're missing out. You check out this hotel. Look at this spread, huh? And then look at this spread, huh? I mean, look at this food
like
here.
The one where he's he's obviously taking the shot, laying in bed.
I don't mean that. I'm talking about the amenities, like the pool, the sauna, all that stuff. I thought that was strange too. Like, well, she's never been to a hotel before.
Right.
Hotels have all those things. They have food, swimming pool, sauna. You know, so I'm not sure why he thought.
Q-tips for you there.
I don't know why he thought that was like some kind of selling point for her. I thought that was very strange.
Do you think the Cubs need to make a statement condemning it because he was employed with them during this time period?
100%.
Because, like, the Mets, they made the move that he wasn't employed by them at the time. They discover this story last night, and they Cohen moved quickly.
They called him. He admitted it. Gone.
So Tom Ricketts and the Cubs, it wouldn't be a bad move to release a statement saying we do not condone this sort of behavior and, you know, we will not tolerate this.
Well, you'd think that's something the Cubs would do, but I don't know about this new Cubs outfit. It's the same Cubs outfit that allows John Lester to walk, so I don't know what they're doing over there now.
They have got to make a statement. Hey, we were unaware of anything Jared Porter was doing when he was in our employ. We take the matter seriously. If any other woman felt that she was being threatened or harassed, please come forward. Yes, you absolutely have to, don't you?
Yes, yes. How many? So answer the question. How many text messages do you need that in order for you to understand they don't want to talk to you? I would say three.
Yeah.
Is three for yours?
No,
or five
I
or
would
six?
Say
six.
Probably five or six. Like, and he didn't like
three.
They weren't graphic till later.
Yes.
Like if, hey, you want to get together and have dinner? No response. Try again. Maybe three.
Yeah.
Three might.
I think three is enough.
I know. Maybe you didn't see it last night. You want to grab lunch. You want to get coffee. Like, after a while, that's it.
Are you there? Are you there? Are you? That's enough.
Especially at 2:45 in the morning. Like.
Well.
And then she said that there were times she was on the field, like at Dodger Stadium, Wrigley, covering games. And she'd see him and she'd go hide because she was terrified what he would do. Okay.
Yeah.
Enough. Yeah. Enough. Jared Porter deserved to be fired. And he will probably never work in baseball again. And, hey, man, he's got no one to blame but himself. And good for Steve Cohen moving quickly.
Jeff's right. I like to have the Cubs say something pretty soon here.
They need to.
Just to wash your hands of this guy and that nonsense.
We had no knowledge. It's not us.
Had no knowledge of him. Baseball man for my baseball man.
Maybe you need another baseball man.
For my
man.
Stock erect penis photo, man.
Wow.
That's exactly what we saw.
All right.
It's nonsense.
Deshaun Watson will not play again for the Texans. Dan Orlovsky explains that. Plus, somebody overslept.
Leave him alone.
We'll be right back.
Juice.
Get social with our new morning show. Follow on Twitter at Cap J Hood.
Cap and J Hood.
Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Deshaun Watson is making it clear, I want out of Houston. Feels disrespected, feels like it's a train wreck culture down there. And there was a report over the weekend that even if Nick Caserio, the new GM, left and they brought in his preferred choice, Lewis Riddick, Doesn't matter. The only way he would ever want to play there again is if they fired the owner, Cal McNair,
right,
which isn't going to happen.
Well, I mean, there you go, Cap. Once again, when you are trying to be meddlesome, when you are trying to be take all the oxygen out of the room, Deshaun Watson, a difference-making talent for any football team, you want to make that guy happy? It doesn't mean – it's not like you're bending over completely backwards for Deshaun Watson, but you just have to be sound as an organization. Clearly, the Texans are not that.
He's also not only a difference-making talent, he is a phenomenal person. By all accounts, he is an incredible leader. He is great in the community. His teammates love playing with him. It's just a joke what's going on down there. We think we got problems with the Bears. We got Super Bowl culture compared to what's going on down there. Dan Orlovsky, our guy, on GetUp, says Watson will not ever play again for Houston.
I don't think Deshaun ever plays for the Texans again. I've felt that way for a couple weeks. I don't think he should. He's got every right to feel the way that he feels. And this reminds me of that quote, what you do in darkness will always come to the light. There's been a lot of shady stuff that seems to have been going on for Houston. And there's deeply rooted issues with that organization, with how they treat their players, star players. And the reality that Deshaun Watson has just decided to expose it. But I know this. I've talked to some people that are attached to that organization, and I've asked questions. And it's worse than it's being reported. It's worse than that can be said on television. It's a very bad situation. And I don't think we need to run from the reality that this is deeply rooted. And Deshaun Watson, this is not an ego thing. This is a necessity. He needs to get out of that organization. J.J. Watt needs to get out of that organization.
Yeah.
It's a poorly run place. And their star players need to get out because they're getting ruined.
This is about history. This is about the history of the Houston Texans, the way that they've treated players, the way that they've treated African-American players. And this is about lying. When you come to your best player and you tell him you're going to be involved in the situation and then you lie to him, now things start to feel familiar. You feel like you're going down the same road that you have already been before, that things are not changing. And I think Deshaun Watson not only did a deep dive into the history of his organization, but he did a deep dive into history as a whole. And he knows that this will not be fixed. And you said it last week, Greeny. I never knew Andre Johnson had a voice and I played against him. So for him to tell Deshaun Watson, you know what? Stand your ground, be strong. Mm-hmm. This organization will waste great players. That spoke volumes to me. He will never play another down there. Greeny, Shefty mentioned NBA. Well, Deshaun Watson has the Rich Paul or the Clutch Sports of agents and David Mulligetta. He'll get it done. That's a wrap.
Yeah, some thoughts there. And I thought it was a really good conversation. When you think about Watson and how much of a difference maker he is, it says a lot about the Texans that they can't try to find a way to salvage that relationship. It says a lot, doesn't it?
It's insane.
Yeah.
If I said to you, Jonathan, it's Nick Caserio, you're now running the Bears. I want your next 4 number one picks and your next 2 number two picks. And why don't you throw in Jalen Johnson on top of it? You doing that?
Yeah, I'm not doing that. No, I'm not.
Me either.
Nope. All right, to the phone lines we go.
Here we go. 312-332-3776. Eddie's on the north side. Hey, Eddie, what's going on, Sparkles?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Eddie.
The only thing to Deshaun Watson, and he's another LeBron James. He knows he can't win for a team, so he wants to bail out on him. That's exactly what he is. And he's overrated. I mean, you guys talk about him like he's the next coming like Andrew Luck was, but he didn't get it done either. And the only talk that should be on the radio is MVP for Tom Brady, because what he did to that team and where he brought them to, I expected it from Aaron Rodgers, but there's no way I would have thought that Brady would have took that team to the NFC Championship game, because that is unbelievable what he did.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more about Deshaun Watson. He is a top 7 quarterback in the National Football League. He is considered to be one of the truly great teammates you could have. He was committed to that community. He's committed to trying to make everyone's life better, black, white, male, female, and to completely offend him by saying, hey, we want you to be part of the process. Come in here. We want to talk to you. Who do you like? What candidates?
all right, take those candidates off the list as soon as he walks out the door. It's just a disrespectful way to do business.
Eddie, also, I would advise you to either open up a book or open up a tab on Google and see LeBron James and what LeBron James did in his career. LeBron James always, when he left because of free agency. I understand that maybe in your world that guys that look like or play like LeBron James are should not have free agency, but he was free to leave every single time. Say what you want to say about LeBron James. The first time around, when he made his decision to go to Miami, he was a free agent. He had the right to do so. After the 4 years in Miami, he had the right to come back to go to Cleveland, had the right to go to Los Angeles because of free agency. So it's not because of the team that was around him. It's because, okay, I've worked and played in my contract. Now I'm going to go to someplace else because he has a right to do that as a free agency. Don't forget the word free in free agency.
And every place that he's been, he brought you a title. He got Cleveland the first time to the finals with, like, me, you, Meller, Danny, and JR playing with him.
Exactly.
Got to the finals. Didn't win it.
So maybe open up a tab on Google and see the definition of free agency, see what that means. When you're a free agent, you have the freedom to go wherever you please. You can play wherever you want to play.
Correct.
And to say that Deshaun Watson is overrated, what is that based on? All those numbers, all those yards, it's not like he's not doing the job because it all works together.
He led the NFL in passing this year.
Yeah, but he's overrated, though.
Yeah, what a joke.
Okay, you got to have someone read the paper to you this morning, Eddie.
Come on, Eddie, you're better than that. One quick bit of housekeeping, then we'll talk to Albert Breer. The Cubs did release a statement to ESPN late last night saying, quote, "This story came to our attention tonight. We are not aware of this incident ever being reported to our organization. Had we been notified, we would have taken swift action as the alleged behavior is in violation of our code of conduct," the team said. While these two individuals, we're talking about Jared Porter, now fired as Mets GM this morning, and the Japanese translator that she spoke to in the Cubs organization, who's no longer there. These two individuals are no longer with our organization. We do take issues of sexual harassment seriously and plan to investigate the matter. So there you go. Cubs.